Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. For many of us, Thanksgiving, much like everything else in 2020, is going to look more than a little different this year. According to a new Axios Ipsos poll, 6 in 10 Americans have modified or even canceled Thanksgiving plans due to the rise in COVID-19 cases. Today on Midday, it's our annual pre-Thanksgiving special with Chef David Thomas of the Heirloom Food Group and John Shields of Gertrude's Chesapeake Kitchen at the BMA. Whether you're experienced in the kitchen or if you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner for the very first time, we're sharing our favorite recipes and tips on how to make your meal memorable or, at the very least, how not to screw it up. So what's your favorite Thanksgiving tradition? We hope you'll share it with us on this turkey edition of Midday's What You Got Cookin' after the news. Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Tom Hall. It's Midday, and today it's the What You Got Cookin' Thanksgiving edition of Midday, a beloved tradition here on our program, going all the way back. Many of you might not even remember, it's so long ago, back to 2016, back in the old days. This Thanksgiving, as many Americans forego travel due to the pandemic, large gatherings of friends and families will give way to more intimate feasts. So whether you're cooking for 1, 2, or 10 today, we're sharing recipes and tips to help make your Thanksgiving dinner a delicious and memorable affair. Chefs David Thomas and John Shields are with us once again to talk you through any questions you might have and to share their favorite savory dishes and desserts. John Shields is a chef and proprietor of Gertrude's Chesapeake Kitchen, his restaurant at the Baltimore Museum of Art. His latest book is The New Chesapeake Kitchen. John, welcome. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, it's good to be here, Tom. Thank you.
And Chef David Thomas is the chef and co-founder with his wife Tanya of the Heirloom Food Group. He's the former executive chef at Ida B's Table in downtown Baltimore. Dave, welcome back, sir. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Good to be with you again.
Always great to have you. They join us on Zoom. And listeners, we definitely want to hear from you. What are you cooking this year? How are you adapting your family food traditions during this very unusual Thanksgiving holiday? 410-662-8780. That's our number here at Midday. To drop us an email, we're at midday@wypr.org. And to tweet us, it's @MiddayWYPR. So Dave, let me start with you. You have a new venture, the Heirloom Food Group. Ida B's Table, we should mention, is still going. Just because you've left, they have not closed the restaurant. But what was behind the decision to leave Ida B's and to start this new venture with your wife, Tanya?
Well, it was just time. You know, everybody knows that, you know, you run a restaurant, sometimes it runs its tail. You know, when that time is up and you have to move on to the next chapter. It just came that time for me. My wife and I had spent a couple weeks in Senegal and Gambia, and we had already talked about it, you know, before we left. And, you know, being in Africa just kind of solidified it for us, the things that we needed to work on. And everybody knows you run a restaurant, especially as a chef owner, you are there every day, every hour. So, you know, we needed the time to take advantage of some other opportunities. So Heirloom Food Group is our umbrella company that we have Heirloom Caterers. We're working on a fast casual concept. We're developing another catering company, Preserve, that we're actually running the holiday menus through today. We're working on some property in South Carolina on this big project. You know, we just got a lot of stuff going on, and we needed the time to, you know, be able to pull it all together.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of folks here locally, you are preparing meals. I mean, you mentioned the catering. You are preparing meals for folks for Thanksgiving, as is John at Gertrude's. You are sold out for Thanksgiving. We should mention that right up front.
Yes, but, yes, we're sold out.
But so I understand that. Yeah, but I understand that, you know, when we think of catering, we think of that, you know, oh, you got to have 100 people coming to a big reception or a big party or something, a wedding or something like that. But you're talking about preparing meals for small groups as well, right? That's still going to be an option moving forward?
Yeah, you know, I think right now, because of COVID, you know, I think everybody can't get together like they would for this holiday. You know, large crowds are not, you know, being welcomed. So we needed to be able to have options for 2, 3, 4 people if they gather together and they wanted to eat in their household. So we have those very small options that people can go grab a quarter pan of this, you know, 8, 10 pounds of this, and they can make a meal for themselves. So that's something that we're going to continue for the rest of the holiday season.
And John Shields over at Gertrude's Chesapeake Kitchen, you're doing the same thing, right? What was your Thanksgiving menu? And we should mention you're sold out as well for Thanksgiving. Yeah. But what was the menu on for Thanksgiving? People could order however many plates they needed for their table?
Exactly. What we tried to do is small, you know, thinking small. Most people want to just have a couple people over. So we looked at it primarily as a dinner for four. Certainly, we also had a la carte options that you could do. And what I did is I talked to all the guys in the kitchen because we have some of the most talented, you know, chefs around. They're just amazing, and we're like a family. So I thought, well, let's do this like a family. And so we designed the menu around what we grew up with, what our grandmothers made, what our mothers made, and everybody kind of, you know, got into it, and they've been having a tremendous amount of fun. It's been a lot of work, but it's a tremendous amount of fun. So, you know, we had options, you know, like we have a baby kale and roasted beet salad, or they could get a butternut and apple squash bisque, and then they choose, do you want a turkey? Or we did honey glazed hams. And you could upgrade. You could have crab cakes for Thanksgiving. And then they could just go and pick a bunch of sides. You know, we had, you know, the old traditional mashed potatoes, gravy, citrus, cranberry relish, and brioche stuffing, mac and cheese. We used Hex Ferments for the sauerkraut. And we braised that all the last couple of days. Stewed greens and ham hocks, candied sweet potatoes. And then Doug, in the bakery department, he made this awesome, it's a milk bread loaf. Then we did sweet potato biscuits, cornbread muffins. And for his pies, he did, Dave, I know you're familiar with Black Rock Orchard over at the farmer's market.
Sure.
And so this is Emily's, Emily Hockhammer Zoss recipe. It's a apple slab pie. And so we did that. And then we have a sweet potato pie and Grandma Doc's pumpkin pie and a chocolate bourbon pecan pie. So we had all kinds of things. And as you said, it got sold out, but we're still in high gear over there getting ready to dole it out.
Yeah. The orders are one thing now, you know, delivering on the orders is another thing. And Dave Thomas, how about your menu? I mean, obviously, the significance of African culture in your approach to food, you know, has always been front and center. What were you offering for the Thanksgiving holiday? And is there an African-informed influence in your menus for this kind of holiday?
Well, you know, we kind of took the approach of a, you know, typical African-American feast for the holidays. You know, and it's very much steeped in American tradition, you know, because we kind of were there creating this cuisine along with other parts of the country, you know, but, you know, having that deep fried turkey is a very Southern thing. So we always sell deep fried turkeys. The mac and cheese is something that we create, something a little different from us because we know that grits and corn was something that was milled by Africans. So instead of just making a traditional stuffing, we make this herb cornbread stuffing with a pot liquor stock. So, you know, using those ingredients to kind of continue to tell a story, that's what we always do. And we're going to continue that with the Heirloom Food Group.
It's What You Got Cooking, our holiday Thanksgiving special. I'm Tom Hall. My guest, Dave Thomas. He and his wife, Tanya, are the owners of the recently launched Heirloom Food Group. And John Shields, he's the chef and the author of many cookbooks, the latest of which is The New Chesapeake Kitchen. His restaurant is Gertrude's Chesapeake Kitchen at the BMA here in Baltimore. 410-662-8780. What's your holiday tradition at Thanksgiving that you like the best? What is the thing that you look forward to every year? And what are you doing to adjust to the coronavirus pandemic and the particular exigencies of what we're dealing with at this point in the pandemic and at this point a day before Thanksgiving? 410-662-8780 to email us. It's midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us as well at @midday WYPR. So, John Shields, looking ahead for the restaurant business and for your business, I mean, you've been at the BMA now for how many years? I've lost track.
22.
Yeah. And, you know, looking forward, is this kind of, you know, dinner for four people, dinner for six people that you can prepare and people can pick up? Is that you know, going to become more a much bigger part of your approach to running the restaurant and, you know, soldiering through this time, which, you know, there's all this talk about the vaccines and that's all really hopeful and terrific, but they're not coming next week or even in 2 or 3 weeks. They are coming in a while.
Yeah. No, it's true, Tom. And, we are definitely going in the direction like this Thanksgiving dinner and looking at specific dinners and for smaller, you know, for parties of two. Also for groups, you know, there's a lot of companies that are looking to send food as gifts. So we're working on that. We have a curbside carryout menu that we do right now, and it's pretty robust. But, you know, most of the restaurants in town, it's very difficult right now. You know, we're at 25% and the virus is raging. And just yesterday, the museum made the announcement that they're temporarily closing beginning today at 5. The gift shop will still be open and will still be there. But so, you know, you have to adapt. You have to come up with different ideas. And sometimes it can actually, while it's challenging, I find it fun. So we're really, you know, working on all kinds of different ideas because the idea is to get through this winter. You know, this is going to be a very, very difficult winter for restaurants and for businesses and for people in general. You know, it's a difficult time, but people need to eat. And so we're going to do our damnedest to make sure they can.
There you go. That's the spirit. And Dave Thomas, we should mention and remind folks that you are undefeated for 3 times on the Food Network's Chopped Kitchen show. So there's huge interest in cooking. There's, you know, there's this plethora of shows about cooking all over television, and you're all over those shows. So there's an interest in cooking, there's an interest in food, and there is going to be, you know, some lag time between the time the vaccine is widely distributed and people are going to go back to brick and mortar restaurants. Do you see this, you know, sort of individualized approach to food preparation and food dissemination as something that can be a viable business model, you know, for a longer term time?
So what you're saying, the question is, you know, do you think the business model, or do you think restaurants will continue, or
well, kind of both. I mean, in other words, because what you're talking about, I mean, you do have some actual restaurants, you know, in the plan for this company, but you also have, you know, a lot of the kind of stuff that you're doing for the folks who have you know, given you a sold out situation for tomorrow. Is that kind of service, that kind of opportunity for people to pick up the food that you prepare so beautifully, is that going to be more and more a part of the business model, or is this a sort of temporary thing and then you're going to go back to just running restaurants?
No. I think, you know, because of the time that we're living in, and keep in mind, we talked about the vaccine and first it's got to be rolled out. We're talking about mass production and then being able to get it distributed around the country. That is going to take time, you know. So by the time that everybody gets it, I mean, we could be, you know, maybe this time next year. We don't know. So I think all restaurateurs and people in the food industry are learning how to pivot. For us, this is absolutely a good thing. You know, I have a lot of online opportunities, and you've been fortunate with my career that people follow me and they want me to do things with them online. So I know that a lot of chefs that are doing the same thing, delivering food and having people come pick it up. I think we're going to have to deal with that for some time because you're not going to be able to dine in restaurants for, you know, quite a while. And people still want to eat. And people still want to enjoy themselves around food. And there are still a lot of restaurants and caterers and food professionals out here who are willing to meet that demand and take care of their customers.
Executive Chef David Thomas and his wife Tanya are the owners of the recently launched Heirloom Food Group. He's also a Food Network Chopped Grand Champion and Bite Club Champion. John Shields is a chef and the author of several cookbooks, the latest of which is called The New Chesapeake Kitchen. He's also the host of Coastal Cooking and Chesapeake Bay Cooking on Maryland Public Television and PBS. He is the proprietor of Gertrude's Restaurant at the Baltimore Museum of Art. We'll have calls and comments when we come back from a quick break at 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org to tweet us. It's @MiddayWYPR. And by the way, this from our WYPR news team, Baltimore County Schools has announced that they have been hit by a ransomware attack. So they announced this morning. We've got information about that on the WYPR website. But this ransomware attack, similar to what happened to the city of Baltimore, the government of the city of Baltimore last year, has shut down the system's network information system and it has forced school administrators to cancel classes today. But if you are a parent of a Baltimore County school student and you are somehow connected to the Baltimore County school system's computer system, you should get off of that system and steer clear until they get this sorted out. Again, a ransomware attack being reported now in the Baltimore County Public Schools. And one more note before we go to a break about another Thanksgiving tradition that is being revamped because of the coronavirus. The Y of Central Maryland's annual Turkey Trot Charity 5K is being run virtually this year. Here's how it works. You register for the event on the Y's website, and then you can choose any 3.1-mile route. You can walk it or run it, and voila, you are done. You will enjoy getting some good exercise, and you'll help the Y provide meals and services to folks throughout Central Maryland. We've got a link to sign up on our website, wypr.org/midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're tuned to 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's our pre-Thanksgiving What You Got Cooking special. As you heard, by the way, coming up tomorrow at this hour, it's Turkey Confidential with Francis Lamb of the Splendid Table, along with a great group of chefs. We have two terrific chefs as well to answer any questions you have and to hear any comments you have about this very unusual Thanksgiving holiday. 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org, our Twitter handle @MiddayWYPR to speak with Chef John Shields of Gertrude's Chesapeake Kitchen and Chef David Thomas of the Heirloom Food Group. Again, they're here to take your questions and comments and help you through any and all culinary quandaries ahead of tomorrow's main event. So give us a call, send us an email, drop us a tweet. So gentlemen, we have an email from Courtney, a listener who says, there was a shortage of small turkeys this year, so my partner and I are going to try roasting a duck. Any chefs or any tips from these chefs? This is definitely going to be a new culinary feat for me. John, you want to take the first stab at that one? How would you prepare a duck?
Well, obviously it depends on the size. One of the things about duck is it's very fatty, which is can be a good thing. I generally take like a skewer and go on the underside of the duck and prick it so that as it's roasting, you know, a lot of the fat will come out. I do save that fat later because you can do so many things with it. You can saute and use it to season things. You generally put the duck in a very hot oven to start because you want to crisp it up and then reduce the heat and cook it. I generally like, you know, I don't make a whole lot of sauce. I make a little bit of a duck stock. But I like it pretty simple, you know, with the drippings, and sometimes I'll thicken those a little bit, sometimes with a little bit of wine. But yeah, I mean, duck is really good, and few people, you know, cook it on any regular basis.
Yeah, I often order duck at restaurants because I make it at my house very infrequently, although I do have a couple of duck breasts in the freezer. Dave Thomas, when you think about duck, what comes to mind for you about how to help Courtney out in her new adventure tomorrow?
Well, you know, for me, I just love comfy duck. And it just happens to be one of the things we're preparing. I didn't mention the meal kits that we're also doing for clients as well. So if anybody's interested in that, we certainly have that available. Duck just happens to be one of the things that we're confiting for this meal kit. So I like confiting. You take that duck, split it in half, salt it pretty well, and then get it in some duck fat or whatever fat you have and braise it in the oven. That's one of the most delicious ways to cook duck. You know, like Chef John said, that duck has a lot of fat. So you need to do something to render all that thick fat that surrounds the animal. So confiting is just a good way to do that as well.
Sounds delicious. 410-662-8780 with your questions and comments for Chef John Shields and Chef David Thomas. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle is @MiddayWYPR. And by the way, if you want to make me feel good and follow me on Twitter, it's @TomHallWYPR. So we have another email from Jane who says, I don't stuff the bird when I roast a turkey, and I either spatchcock or roast pieces separately. But I've noticed that I get less good drippings for gravy. I suspect it has something to do with not stuffing the bird. What do you think? How can I be sure to get enough good drippings to make a lot of gravy? John, what do you think?
Well, you know, I don't stuff my turkey, you know, when I'm roasting it. And I generally have been getting, you know, a good amount of drippings from there. You know, if you're brining the turkey, you know, a day or two ahead, that puts a bit more moisture in it. And so as it's roasting, it'll, you know, give you a lot more juices. The other thing is if you're getting a kind of a free range turkey, an heirloom, they actually put off a little less drippings because they have less fat. I find, you know, I get it both way there.
And Dave Thomas, there are a lot of folks who do the pieces separately. You know, they'll do some wings, some breasts, some legs and stuff. When they do that, are they automatically going to have to expect fewer drippings for gravy?
Not necessarily. I think it goes back to what Chef just said, you know, depending upon the level of fat that's on the bird itself, because that's what's rendering. It's the fat from the bird that's rendering in the bottom of the pan over, you know, heat over time, so that as the bird is getting warmer and warmer and warmer, that fat is starting to slowly render, and that's what falls to the bottom of the pan. So even if you cut it up, you can still achieve that. And I think one of the good things about cutting it up also is you don't have as long of a cook time in the oven. You know, obviously the larger the bird, and if it's all together, it's going to take you much longer to cook it. But if you break that animal down into parts or pieces, then you're going to get an even cook also, the breast and the wing versus the leg and thigh, and then how long that takes to cook. It gives you a good opportunity to get the perfect bird at the right temperature, and certainly get a good amount of fat to render to make songs.
And John Shields, first of all, it's interesting that turkey sales in general this year are very much up. People are eating turkey at times other than Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean, the turkey sales nationally have really gone through the roof. And that's kind of an interesting little factoid for this year. Usually about 46 million turkeys are eaten at Thanksgiving. That's from the National Turkey Federation. And obviously things have slowed down a little bit, but there are folks who are opting for large chickens instead of the usual turkey entree and hams and that kind of stuff. But for folks who are not getting an entire turkey, like Linnell and I are going to have a turkey breast that I got from Andy's farm at the farmer's market. It's a boneless breast. What are the things that we should keep in mind because we're not doing, as David was saying, you know, we're not roasting this whole bird and it's not going to be in the oven for 5 hours or whatever it is. Any things in particular that we should, you know, keep front of mind when we're doing, you know, fewer pounds worth of turkey in the oven?
Sure, sure. No, absolutely. And as you said, turkey sales are up and it's like crazy. And one of the reasons is everybody's cooking at home. When we've been at the farmer's market, they're just so busy because everybody's cooking at home. And I think a lot of people are looking for ways to go with a smaller protein portion. And you and Linnell's idea is great with the turkey breast. Obviously, whenever you're cooking a breast of any kind of poultry or fowl, you have to worry about it drying out. So that's when you're doing a breast, you want to be really mindful of that. I like to constantly baste it as it's roasting, just so I'm getting juices back into it. And you want to let it come almost to temp, and then you want to take it and let it sit. I usually put a little bit of foil over, let it finish cooking. But that's the whole idea. That's the whole idea with turkeys in general. That's what everybody says every year. You know, if they overcook the turkey, it can put the entire family into a complete tizzy. They've made movies around this, but you be very careful with the breast. David might have some ideas on that too.
That's right. I mean, you got to be very careful. I mean, it's talk about sink or swim. I mean, you get one shot. You don't get any do-overs on Thanksgiving, for God's sake. Chef John Shields from Gertrude's Chesapeake Kitchen and Chef David Thomas from the Heirloom Food Group are our guests here on Midday. Our number 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. And to tweet us, it's @MiddayWYPR. So, Dave, we have a question from Ronnie about making gravy without a bird. He says, I'm not doing a turkey this year, as well as a few sides. I'm honestly glad to not have to make it since I'm going to have no guests to satisfy other than myself. So I do want to have gravy. How can I make tasty gravy without the juices from the bird? Is that possible?
I mean, you can still make it. It's not going to have the rich depth of flavor that you get from the renderings from a fresh bird. But, you know, there are some pretty decent store-bought stocks out there that you could utilize. And you could even venture to get like a duck fat or beef tallow to use in place of butter to add another level of flavor. So when you're making a gravy, you know you're making a roux, so you need butter or fat or something to get started. And then you're adding in your flour, and then you're adding in your stock. You know, so you can still make it without having the drippings. You just need to research, you know, what kind of flavor you want, whether it's beef or chicken or turkey or something like that. And then you can find a store-bought stock, I'm sure, that will get you through this little pinch for one time.
We have another gravy question. Even this is from Gwen, who says, I just finished a delicious gravy from braising dark meat pieces, but now I think it should be a little thicker. Can I do that when heating it up again tomorrow? Is that going to work the day after, John Shields? What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, you can do that. She could just make a little bit of a roux on the side, taking some fat. If she has some of the, you know, the turkey fat would be great. If not, use butter and, cook it for several minutes to cook out the flavor of the flour. So it's a 1-to-1 ratio, you know, the same amount of whatever oil or butter to flour. Cook it for a little bit. And then as you're reheating the gravy, just put it a little bit in at a time and whisk it. And you can bring it and get it to the thickness that you want by doing that. You don't have to put it all in at once.
NBC News reporting this year that they expect more than 70% of households will have a Thanksgiving that has fewer than 6 people. And that's a good thing for coronavirus, but it's certainly a very different thing that a lot of families and folks are used to. There were millions of people crowding into airports over the weekend, about 1 million a day for the 3 days over the weekend last weekend. And next Sunday, the airline industry expects it to be the busiest day of the year. Again, the busiest day of the year is relative. It's certainly less busy than it's been in years past. But still, there are a lot of people ignoring the CDC guidelines that say don't travel. Stick around the house and don't have Thanksgiving with anybody who doesn't already live in your house. That is the best guidance. There's no doubt about that. So if you have made the decision to not travel, good for you. That's a good thing because I do think it's going to help us all as a nation tamp down the spread of this virus, which is, you know, spreading and surging exponentially. We keep seeing the numbers coming in daily from not just here in Maryland, and Maryland's actually doing better than most places, but all around the country. Let's go to the phones to Rob, who's got another gravy comment. He's calling from Baltimore. Rob, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to Midday.
Hey, thanks, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. My comment was, people have been worried about getting enough drippings to be able to make gravy. If you cook the turkey in one of those roasting bags, which they have pretty much at any supermarket, you end up with, you don't have to worry about it at all. You end up with too much.
No, because the bag just, you know, captures all the juices. Yeah,
it does. The bag captures everything. The added benefit is that you don't even have to baste it. If you just put it in that bag and follow the instructions on the bag, you end up getting more than enough drippings to make anything you want.
All right. Well, thanks for that comment, Rob. I appreciate it. And of course, Dave Thomas, you are never going to be seen cooking a turkey in a bag. but I feel fairly confident in predicting that. But I do want to ask you again. I ask you this every year. It's like it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without my asking you this about brining the turkey. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. One of the great viral hits of this season is a rebroadcast or a reposting on social media by John Capehart of the Washington Post of incoming Vice President Kamala Harris advising about brine. His husband, John Capehart's husband, Nick, is the cook in their family. John himself does not cook. And they were taping a show for MSNBC, I think, a year ago. And at one of the breaks, Kamala Harris, off the top of her head, talked about wet brining and dry brining and gave a little master class about how to brine turkeys. So, you know, folks can look that up, you know. But for you, Dave Thomas, do you have a preference, wet or dry? And is there a particular secret to brining your turkeys before you cook them?
You know, I don't typically brine my birds. You know, I mean, brining them helps to make sure you retain moisture, obviously, and just, you know, adding some additional flavor to it. But, you know, if you know what you're doing, you don't have to brine it. You can still get a nice, juicy, tasty bird. Typically, what I do with my birds is that however I cook them, whether I'm roasting them in the oven or I'm deep frying them or if I'm smoking them, I'm always letting them cook naturally, maybe with a little salt, pepper, and butter on it. And then once I pull it out of the oven or out of the fryer or out of the smoker, then that's when I hit it with a dry rub that I've created. And then I just allow that dry rub just to seep right into the meat, into the skin, and you let that sit and cool. And for me, that's just the perfect bird. You know, a little salty, a little sweet, you know, really nice textures from the skin. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, so you can put the rub on after you've cooked it. That's interesting. I've always heard of rubs as going on before. Yeah. And give us an example of the kind of stuff that's in that rub.
Well, I mean, I've done, at one time, I had, I think, 9 different varieties of turkeys. You know, I've jerked turkeys before. You know, I've done all kinds of things to turkeys, smoked them and jerked them. And I even did a this buttered Old Bay rub before. So, yeah, I mean, it really depends on, you know, what you want to, you know, for us is what our clients want. You know, we'll do whatever that they ask us to do. And sometimes it's, you know, just a number of different flavors. But, you know, you can do anything to a turkey.
without hurting it too badly. It's What You Got Cooking. We'll have more with Chef David Thomas of the Heirloom Food Group and Chef John Shields of Gertrude's Chesapeake Kitchen at the Baltimore Museum of Art. After a quick break, to take your questions and comments, we're at 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us at @midday WIPR. And by the way, this note about some musical happenings at Andy Musique, the performance venue in Baltimore's Mount Vernon neighborhood. The artists who are streaming live concerts from Andy Musique this week have each designated a charity to which a portion of the proceeds of their concerts will go. So on Friday night, night after Thanksgiving, the alto saxophonist Mark Gross will perform with his quartet to raise money for the Mount Zion Church of God in Christ. And on Saturday, the singer Marianne Matheny-Katz will perform a tribute to the great Joni Mitchell to benefit Action Against Hunger. So we've got a link to information about those streaming concerts at Andy Musique at wypr.org/midday. And for folks who are having to forego Thanksgiving this year with their special sweethearts, as we go to break, here's one for you. This is from Funkadelic back in 1972.
You're listening to your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you're just joining us, it's the What You Got Cooking Thanksgiving edition. Thanksgiving this year, of course, will be unlike any other, as the pandemic adds an extra layer of anxiety to the holidays and, well, frankly, every other day as well. So how will you be connecting with loved ones this Thanksgiving? Will you be sharing a meal over Zoom, perhaps, or maybe expressing gratitude with a drive-by visit? We'd love to hear from you, hear how you're adjusting things in this time of COVID-19. 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle is @midday WYPR. Chef John Shields and Chef David Thomas are with me today to answer all of your food questions, whether you're a dab hand in the kitchen or a culinary rookie. So give us a call or send us a tweet, drop us an email. John Shields, let's talk about some sides and some appetizers. Perhaps you have a wonderful recipe for a crab and artichoke dip that you credit to Thelma. This is Thelma's crab and artichoke dip, and we'll post this online. Tell us about Thelma Tunney, who is the person who this recipe comes from, and how you make it.
Yeah, it's really easy crab dip, and obviously everybody around here love crab dip. Thelma is actually married to Jed Kirschbaum, who is a celebrated photographer with the Baltimore Sun for many years. And she was helping me get my first cookbook together and do photography for it. And she wanted me to try her crab dip. And it's phenomenal. I just did a Zoom the other night, I think up at Harford County Public Library. And we did this recipe, and people really, really enjoyed it. I always like kind of dippy things around the holidays because it's a nice appetizer, something to share, and it can be special. My sister was talking to me about how to do those kinds of things now in the COVID world. You know, even if you're having 2, 3, 4 people come over and sitting out back, you can actually make this crab dip, which is basically mayonnaise, sharp cheese, some spices, and Dijon mustard with lump crab meat. and some artichoke hearts. I usually like those to be in water. You chop those up, mix it all together, and you make a casserole. But if you're going to have just a few people and you want to do it as an app, you could put them in little ramekins and bake them individually. And on each plate, you could put some crackers or some dipping things. And then each person can have their own, you know, their own dip. And then you don't have any cross-contamination. But it really is a great dish. And you can make it ahead of time, so it's all ready when you're ready to serve the dinner or get the festivities started.
And Dave Thomas, this is kind of like, this is akin to asking Houdini how he gets out of the handcuffs and the leg chains while he's, you know, submerged in water on the stage. But you make the world's best mac and cheese. And I say this not to, I don't want to be at all insulting, because I mean, you're a chef that makes these incredibly wonderful and complex meals, but the mac and cheese that you make is just, it is heavenly. It is better than any mac and cheese I've ever had anywhere in the universe. So,
well, God bless you.
Well, can you, is there a secret or two that you can divulge about how you approach something that seems as simple as mac and cheese?
Well, I think one, I season my noodles as well as I do my cheese, you know, so that's one thing. And then I think the most important thing is that my style of mac and cheese is a baked mac and cheese. And there are a couple different varieties. You got a baked, you have a creamy, you have some that are topped with breadcrumbs. I don't top mine with breadcrumbs, and mine is creamy, but it's a baked mac and cheese. So my mac and cheese, you could cut it and stand it up on a plate and it would hold form. Because we introduce eggs into the mixture when we bake it off, and that creates this firmness, much like a custard when you're making. I just add a lot of cheese in it, and I season the noodles as well as I do the cheese sauce when I'm preparing it. So
that's great. Season both the noodles and the cheese. That's terrific. Let's go to the phones to Nancy, who's calling from Towson. Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to Midday.
Thank you. My question, I usually brine my turkey, but the turkey I have now, which is a 13-pounder, has a big note on it that says it's flavored with 9.5% added solution of turkey broth, salt, and spices. Does that mean that it's already brined?
No.
What do you think?
Not really. I mean, there's a light brine to it, obviously. You know, anytime you introduce a liquid or something to protein, then obviously it is brine, so to speak, but it really is not adding any, you know, real depth of flavor. So if you really want to, you know, increase the flavor of that bird, then certainly you still have the opportunity to brine it.
I see. Well, that's good to know. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Have a wonderful
happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
And we have this email from Tisha. So, John Shields, maybe you can take this one. She says, I'm preparing roasted sweet potatoes with caramelized onions. I'm also going to toss in dried cranberries. So that's yummy. This will be a savory dish, and I just want to ensure that the sweet potatoes are not overcooked while still allowing the onions to get soft and sweet. Do you recommend covering the dish with foil or allowing them to roast uncovered?
Well, I generally... things like that, I will cover it with foil to start, just to get, you know, the, especially with sweet potatoes, to get them cooked through. Obviously it sounds like that she has those peeled. And then for about the last 10, 15 minutes, I take the foil off so that it can kind of brown and get that. That really nice sweet, because it brings a lot of sweetness out at that point.
Yeah. And Dave Thomas, we have an email from Gemma who says, I'm roasting turkey legs for Thanksgiving. So turkey legs. At what temp are the turkey legs done? Is it 165 or 180 degrees? I know I've read 165 for most of the turkey, but is it different for the legs?
No, 165 degrees internally. You know, that's what you need to bring it to. And, you know, if you want it cooked perfectly, you want to bring it out right about that, maybe a little before, because once you take it out of the oven, the residual heat will continue to cook it for a few. But yeah, 165 degrees internally, and you'll have a beautiful piece of turkey meat.
And Dave, we have a listener who has a question about the meal kits from Heirloom Food Group. Could you share that information? She says she's having a difficult time finding it online. When you talk about meal kits, are you giving folks uncooked food and directions on how to cook it, or are you talking about preparing the meals cooked and everything by the time they pick it up?
Yeah, well, currently what we're working on right now, and it's it'll be rolled out for the next holiday. So for Christmas, we'll be rolling this out. But what it is basically is we have some set meals already prepared, and you can buy it in a couple different ways. You can buy the meal kit with all the trimmings, all the sauce, everything. And you can also get heating instructions and a link to a Zoom meeting where we'll set up an actual kind of event for our clients, where we may send out 50 of these boxes to family members or guests or clients, and they all want to take part in this event. So we'll prepare the meal, we'll ship the box out to them, we'll meet up online, I'll do a cooking demonstration, talk everybody through the plating and the reheating. And then we'll give them a little history about the food and why we chose those ingredients. And, it's representation of our heritage. So those are the things that I'm doing right now. We have some other ways of doing that, too. So if you don't want the Zoom, if you don't want that kind of experience online, you can select one of the meals, and then we can just ship that out to you and your guests, and you can enjoy it.
Terrific. And John Shields, we'll give you the last word. We just got 20 seconds left. But are you going to do these meals for the smaller groups, the four people, the six people, for Christmas as well?
Yeah, we're planning on doing that and coming up with a number of sort of prefix things for New Year's Eve.
Wonderful.
So we just keep the holidays going,
Yep, indeed. All right, John Shields is the chef and the author of The New Chesapeake Kitchen. He also hosts Coastal Cooking and Chesapeake Bay Cooking on Maryland Public Television and PBS. He and John Gilligan are the proprietors of Gertrude's Chesapeake Kitchen at the Baltimore Museum of Art. John, happy Thanksgiving to you and John G., and thank you so much, and God bless. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you.
Chef David Thomas is the chef and co-owner with his wife Tanya of the Heirloom Food Group. It's a multifaceted culinary operation that includes catering and educational platforms, as well as sustainability through farming. Dave, it's great to have you back. Great to talk to you, and God bless and Godspeed on this new venture. It sounds terrific.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Tom. Thank you so much.
All right, that's it for us today. Here and Now is up next after an NPR news break, and tomorrow at this hour, we will bring you NPR's Turkey Confidential. And on Friday, we're going to rebroadcast a conversation I had with UMBC President Freeman Hrabowski about his participation in a clinical trial for a COVID-19 vaccine and the importance of increasing diversity in clinical trials. That's on the way Friday. And before we leave you today, a few words of thanks in this season of Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for the team that I work with here at Midday. Our producers, Rob Sivek and Santa Greaves, our director and engineer, Luke Spicknell, our digital producer, Jamila Kremple, and Austin Coughlin at Clean Cuts, who wrote our theme music. Thanks also to our chief engineer, Ray Heppner, WYPR's executive director for news, Danielle Irby, my wonderful colleagues on the WYPR news team, producer Mark Gunnery, and as well my colleagues Aaron Henkin, Nathan Sterner, and Matt Tacka. But most of all, thanks to you. We really appreciate your tuning into our program. We appreciate your questions, your comments, your perspective, and your concern for the future of our city, of our state, our country, and our very troubled world. Thank you for being part of the Midday community of listeners. Every day, our team cherishes the opportunity that you let us have to help shape in some small way the conversation about our democracy, the challenges we face, and the things that animate and illuminate our lives. That opportunity is a blessing and a gift. You are a blessing and a gift. We pledge to you that we will always do our best to merit your continued interest and support. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks. From all of us at WYPR, We wish you and yours a safe and happy Thanksgiving.
You're listening to your NPR News Station. Member supported 88.1 WYPR.